Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
In this bonus episode of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition, we're highlighting the work of our friends over at CBS This Morning podcast with a conversation that CBS News contributor Jamie Wax had with Daily Show correspondents Roy Wood Jr. and Ronnie Chang.
20 years ago, if you were angry about something, you had to write a letter to the editor of your newspaper and wait patiently to see if they printed it. Yeah. And even then, no one replied to it. Like, you had to really put in effort. Now you can just yell on the internet and go write about your day.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the anger is real, really, because some of it is people purposely trying to stir stuff up. Some of it is foreign governments trying to literally start some crap, right? So my whole thing is, like, I just want to make cool stuff. I want to spend more time making stuff than I do talking about making stuff or talking about other people's opinions about making stuff. You know, that seems, all my comedy heroes, that seems to be their approach.
I'm Gail King.
I'm Anthony Mason.
And I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And this is a CBS This Morning podcast.
Hello, I'm CBS News contributor Jamie Wax. Roy Wood Jr. and Ronnie Chang are correspondents for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah on Comedy Central. Wood has two Comedy Central specials under his belt. They are hilarious. My particular favorite is Father Figure, which is really great. Chang's Netflix special, which is also brilliant and brilliantly titled, Asian Comedian Destroys America. And destroys, you mean a couple different ways, I think.
Sure.
debuted last December. Both of them are worth your time on streaming and available to you. Chang was born in Malaysia, but grew up in Singapore and New Hampshire. Wood is a native of Birmingham, Alabama, who spent time in Florida, went to Florida A&M in Tallahassee.
Oh, Rattlers.
And L.A. And they both now live in New York, where, as different as their styles are, and if you watch The Daily Show or seen their stand-up, you know that they actually share an office at Daily Show headquarters. Welcome, and thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I just watched you before we started doing this podcast. I watched the two of you sort of start developing a bit for The Daily Show. I like got a sort of fly on the wall perspective on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were bouncing things off each other. Is that what it's like sharing an office for the two of you?
Yeah, I'd say that. I like it. I like the location of our office. I've always said this, and I'd say this seriously. I don't want to be alone in the building. Like, I like the creative energy. Like, there's been, you know, over the time that Trevor's been at the show, we've had correspondents leave, Jessica Williams, Hasan Minhaj.
Right.
And there's always the, hey, you guys want to take the office? And we put the new person in here, and we're like, no, we're good together.
Yeah, first of all, collaborating is one of the great joys of working at a show like The Daily Show. It's to collaborate with people who are professional comics.
Yeah.
So being able to bounce ideas like that. Second of all, I mean, speaking for myself, you know, comedy, stand-up comedy is a solo sport. So you spend a lot of time on the road by yourself with your own thoughts. And speaking for myself, I don't speak for Roy, but it's nice to have someone to bounce ideas off on a daily basis who understands exactly where you're coming from and what you're trying to do. And also, I mean, when I first joined the show, Roy was very much an introduction to America. He even till today, 5 years in, 4.5 years in, he's still every day teaching me like about this is what America is. This is also what Black America is. This is where they intersect. This is where things get weird. Like, he's always showing me. Yeah, because I have no idea about that.
I show you videos from WorldStar.com.
He shows me WorldStar. He explains what Waffle House is and why there's so many fights there. And then I ask him so many questions, which honestly, people would think I'm being sarcastic, but they're very genuine questions. Like, yeah. Like, what's up? Why is this, you know, what is the beef between these two rappers? What's the history of it? And Roy is great because this is very this is a very inside baseball nuanced view, which Roy would never talk about. But Roy is great for many reasons. But one thing is he actually navigates the urban and the non-urban crowds very well. He sees everything in it. So he's able to kind of explain America, Black America, and all the nuances, subcultures within Black America very well. He sees the matrix for all that stuff.
And because Ronnie has all these international experiences, he's the one getting me to try new foods. Like even right now in the studio, Ronnie just brought in some green bread. I don't know what this is.
And hand sanitizer.
Yeah. He just came and he goes, my wife just made this. It's authentic, genuine Vietnamese.
I'm gonna try this.
I can't eat it. Don't you eat that on the air. I'm telling you.
No, he'll eat it.
So it's nice. It got nice like textures to it.
So this is stuff that Roy would never try. This is Vietnamese bam bo.
Oh, that's really good.
It's basically a pandan cake.
And I don't even know what that is. Like Ronnie's analogy to describe the food is something else I have to discover.
He's describing things that you can't relate to in relation to other things you can't relate to.
Yeah, definitely on the international side. And then, you know, we'll talk about like cricket and MMA and just, you know, sports that aren't necessarily
We're both huge sports fans. Yeah. So we're always watching sports in the office and
pretending to work in the office and shutting the door.
Well, technically everything we consume is used in our work, but yes, we pretend to work and watch a lot of sports.
Let me ask you a practical question. I know how busy the schedule is of a correspondent on Comedy Central. The fact that both of you are as busy as you are as stand-ups and have developed solid hours. I would call those two specials I mentioned in the introduction two of the best hours I've seen in the last 2-3 years from comics.
Thank you so
insightful, funny, great live audience reaction. Like you know, you see those specials where you think the audience is being prompted or forcing it, and there's such genuine affection and laughter from the audiences in both those specials. Mm. How in the world do you develop a solid hour of material while you're so busy focusing on your segments on the Daily Show?
Name the ones you hate, though.
I think the production cycle of the Daily Show, it can sometimes be high tide, low tide. And if you're lucky enough to find a low tide in the news cycle, then I can go out real fast and do a bunch of comedy sets. And I'll still go out Fridays and Saturdays. Yeah. But like right now, as I'm trying to build a new hour, I worked 3 weekends in January. I'm working only 1 weekend in February, no weekends in March on the road. And then in April, it cranks back up again. So you find your spots, you know, like I'll listen to sets on the way to work, on my walk to work. I'll listen to jokes I told 2 months ago to figure out how to move this comma, move that around, bring it in the office to Ronnie. Hey, what do you think about this joke? This is sequencing and move around. And then the next thing you know, there's 4 stories that I need to pitch, which means I need to research, which means I need to watch 2 or 3 docs or news, CBS News. I'll go to CBS News.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Research the hard journalistic side of the story. Yeah. And then you go and read and consume the blogs and the weird stuff and see what the criticisms are about the topics. And it's hard to explain, but just creatively, your brain is constantly going and it just oscillates from stand up to political satire back to stand up.
Yeah. But, I mean, Roy isn't saying the whole story. People don't understand how good he is at stand-up comedy. He works really hard at it. He sees the matrix for everything. He understands joke structure very well.
Yeah.
He could literally, if he wanted to, he could probably become like an adjunct professor at just teaching structure. The way he does it is amazing. He's really like watching like a master at work. And anyway, but to answer your question about how we can do it at The Daily Show, I mean, yeah, we you know, The Daily Show, when it rains, it pours. And it is a job that requires a lot of energy and time, as you can imagine, every day. But it's also, I think, probably the perfect job for a stand-up comedian, because we tape Monday to Thursday in New York City And then we don't have a show on Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can theoretically tour outside of the city. So you can do like spots in different states. You know, you can go to Chicago, do a headline over a weekend. Mm-hmm. You can headline over a weekend in out of town. And if you're in New York City Monday to Thursday, the show, we leave the building, let's say, before 9 p.m., right? And that's prime time in New York City.
Yeah.
It's prime time to go around and do spots around.
Just drop into shows all over the city.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And New York City is the, I don't know any other city where you can literally, if you wanted to, you could probably do 10 shows a night. Without pushing too hard, you could do five a night, every night.
This is the only city where you could burn the candle at both ends.
But you have to have a huge work ethic to even want to do that. I mean, that's the truth, is that you could just do The Daily Show or just do stand-up. But the idea of doing both takes a lot of work.
Sure, but it's also love of the game, man. It's to be in a position where you can do that many spots is amazing. Like, I was just, you know, I take my hour and then back on the grind to work the new one. And just during this process, it's like, man, the love of the game. It's so much fun doing this. Being able to run around New York City is the dream. The dream was to come to New York City and run from gig to gig like a crazy person and you know, try to figure out a new joke.
And that's the great thing about The Daily Show, is that because what we're doing at the show, the challenge at the show is to find, especially with all of these other political satire shows that are out there, what is the one thing about this issue that no one else is going to say that we can say? And then when you nail that, oh, man, that's a good feeling. So then that bleeds over into your stand-up. My stand-up got better once I got on The Daily Show. Because now it's, if we're doing that on the show, then I can try to do that with my comedy. And then every blue moon, you may pitch a joke on the show or pitch a thought process on the show. It just doesn't work for whatever reason. And you go, thank you, Trevor. I'm going to put this on stage.
It's still yours.
Yeah. That's exciting. Also, comedy is the one thing they can never take from me. It's the one. All of the great comedians that are respected all died with dates on the books. No one who's been on The Daily Show has been there forever, I think, except for Mark Payone,
who's literally been there
since Craig Kilborn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I know that sooner or later my time on The Daily Show will end, but stand up will always be there. When I get uglier than I am now, and Hollywood wants no parts of me,
this
and I reach
bleak.
Whatever magical age that you stop casting black men at, other than Danny Glover and Morgan Freeman. Maybe Lou Gossett Jr. Like, when I reach that age, and 65. I know I'm not getting any more. Is that old?
Your generation needs those guys, too. You might be that guy.
I just know that I can still tell jokes, and I can still have opinions. For as long as you're breathing, you have opinions. They used to push Richard Pryor on stage in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say that like it's a... You're saying like it's a good thing.
I'm saying that he never stopped.
Yeah, Keith Robinson has had a stroke. He's still doing
right.
it.
So
So... I love it, but because I know that's the one thing I'll always be able to control. So that muscle I cannot let atrophy. Even if I'm on The Daily Show.
And as you mentioned, after The Daily Show is not a bad class of people to be in. I mean, we're talking about Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, Samantha Bee, our own Mo Rocca, who's at CBS News, which is clearly the apex of anyone's desires in the world. You got so many, Rob Riggle, you've got all of these people.
Mr. John Oliver. Yeah,
John Jason Oliver, Jones, not doing too badly. That's right. I mean, that this to be on The Daily Show has to be something that you two both really aspired to, and that was a really exciting call the day you found out that you had booked it and that you were going to be correspondent.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, he was in Hong Kong when he found out.
Yeah,
is that right?
Funny. Yeah.
And it was not, you auditioned before and got rejected by
trash.
The Daily Show.
They didn't reject me. It was terrible. Like, it was to reject means that you considered it before passing on it. They didn't consider. Yeah, I blew that. It was a terrible audition, like 07. And to get another opportunity under Trevor, you know, Neil Brennan made a couple calls and got me in the door in front of the producers, and that was that, man. It just I don't know, it came together. I got a call in Hong Kong, and then I went immediately and bombed in front of 40 people at a bar.
I know,
just
that
to keep you humble.
Yeah. You literally just got the best news of your career, and an hour later, you're at a bar, and people are like, I don't get what you do. Like, you will someday.
Yeah.
What about you, Ronnie?
Yeah, I was in Edinburgh at the time. I was doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I'm just going to say, if there's not evidence that this current cast of this show is international. You were in Hong Kong and you were in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
okay.
And I was living in Australia. I lived there for like 10 years and I moved to America for The Daily Show. And to be honest, I mean, The Daily Show kind of came up when the internet was kind of first doing video. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember, like when I was in college in 2005, that was kind of when we started sharing clips, like properly.
YouTube started 2004.
Right, right. Yeah. So that was when The Daily Show, I think, really started blowing up for me, because the clips, you started sharing, oh, look at Jon Stewart say this, look at this field piece, and so that's how we kind of learned about the show and became huge fans. But to be honest, I never thought I would ever get a chance to be part of it, because I wasn't particularly political. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very good at comedy, and also I was all the way in Australia. Like, how the hell are you gonna, like, it wasn't even something I even dared to aspire to. And then you get the call to audition, and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And wanted to be part of the show, obviously, but just never thought I would even be considered, you know, in anywhere near what was required to be on the show. So
but there is something that makes a lot of sense about both of you and this tradition that really, after the Craig Kilborn show was a lot of fun. It was very funny. It was a very different show than it became under Jon Stewart. But there is something about both of you. Now, your styles could not be more different. I consider both of you masters of timing. But Roy, you are a slow burn guy. You will tell a story and you will leave pauses and just let it build. Ronnie, you will hit five rapid fire jokes on a topic, and then all of a sudden 2 minutes later you're on to the next topic. But both of you are truth tellers in your comedy. That seems like something that's very important in being a member of The Daily Show, is sort of that your comedy gets to the heart of truths.
To be honest, I think that's something the show rubbed off on us. I don't know, well, I want to speak for Roy, but rubbed off on me a bit more, because one of the biggest things at the show was always, when we started working there and started writing there, they were like, well, this is funny, but what are you trying to say?
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? And I never considered what I was trying to say. For me, up to that point, it's always like, how do I make these people laugh? And then suddenly you have to start thinking about, and that's one of the hallmarks of The Daily Show, is what are you trying to say with this joke? And that, I think that's what Roy was saying earlier about it, that kind of infected our stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
It bled over to our stand-up, in terms of when we write stand-up jokes now, we also think about, like, oh, what are we trying to say with this joke, though? It's funny, but are we saying the right thing with it? Are people laughing for the right reasons? What is the point? And so I think when you say truth tellers, I think some of that is from the tradition of the show, you know, to want to be a show that does comedy but also tries to say something a little bit more, or at least has a focus, like a focus point coming from a place of news and truth. And, you know, I mean, ultimately the allegiance is to the joke, but just having that kind of consideration of what are you trying to say with this joke? Let's not just make, you know, fun of things just because we can, you know.
Yeah, it's like a bachelor's degree versus grad school.
Yeah.
If everybody's funny, then the tiebreaker becomes who said something more poignant, or who said something that had a more unique point of view. If you just want to laugh, just million other shows.
Yeah, go watch some, you know, go watch people fall down on or watch people fight at Waffle House on Wall Star. You know? You can get a lot of laughs from that.
You really did affect him about Waffle House.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
I took him to his first Waffle House in America.
Is that right?
Yeah, in Cleveland.
Well, it was outside of Cleveland. It was a 40-minute Uber.
Get the just for scattered, it. Smothered, covered in chunked hash
brown experience. Grits. We're never going to be that close to a Waffle House again.
Grits.
And with me and him together, it's during the Republican convention, and I did a little Googling, found one on the other side of Akron. I go, we're going.
Well, we went to Akron to try to get some stage time.
Oh, really?
During the convention.
During the convention. So we got some stage time, and then on the way back, or on the way there, I think we stopped by a Waffle House.
Yeah, and so that's like, and that's kind of where he and I are alike, where if we're on a piece together, we go to the convention and you're there all day and you're shooting all day from like 9 a.m. to 6. Mm. And then at 6, I go to Ronnie. Hey, man, I think there's a comedy show. If you want to do 7 minutes, you got a bitch you want to. I'm down. Let's roll.
Yeah. And he literally knows every room and every person. He's got like rooms in different area codes. For sure. He's got people everywhere. Like I'll every time I go any city, I'm like, I ask him for the lowdown. Is this place good? Does this place suck? Do you have anyone you can recommend to open? And he always has someone to recommend to open in every city in America. It's unbelievable.
You know all the comics in Boise, Idaho, and
Boise and Maine are the only two where I think.
He definitely knows. He knows, but if not, he knows who to contact to get to the
I'm
you
one
need
degree to. Away from yeah, most from, comedians.
Yeah, that's great.
I can find you, but yeah. That's also I was on the road for 10 years. I was a Southern act. I didn't move to LA until I was like year 9. So you worked the South and the Midwest for a decade. You know, all of the features are now headliners, and the people who never moved to the coast, they're still making their money in middle America. So their ear is to the street. So even if the bookers have changed or the rooms have changed, I know who to talk to. I'm in enough weird Facebook groups that are private.
But there's a reputation in stand-up that there's not a lot of support and camaraderie like that. Is that an unfair characterization when people talk about it being so competitive? And that,
yeah, for sure, it's definitely. Alan Havey put it best. He said, like, well, in this for ourselves, but we're in it together. And like, I always see a lot of camaraderie. I don't know, I think you get back what you put out.
Yeah,
I mean, again, Roy will never say it, but he's probably one of the most generous, sincere guys, very sincere of his time, you know. Or every day he'll get at least every 2 or 3 days, he'll get a call from like a comic around the country asking him for some advice. And I know, because I'm in the office and we have no secrets. Like, we literally sit in each other's business manager meetings. Like, when the accountants come to office, we're just in the office together. So we see each other's financials. Yeah. But comics will call him and ask him for advice, and he'll very sincerely try to. So I don't think I haven't seen any bad blood between comedians. I mean,
There's infighting, of course, and same with any other job. I compare it to an NBA team where there's going to be two divas somewhere in there that.
Yeah, but
don't
you think
along.
It's like omerta? Like, that's us. We don't talk about that. We don't. That's internal.
Yeah, that's family business.
That's family business.
But
yeah,
you're not going to hear about some public feud between two comedians. It rarely, rarely happens.
Yeah, like, am I wrong? But I don't think you never hear Seinfeld talk crap about anybody.
And I'm sure Seinfeld, the same as every other comedian, has a comedian that he can't stand. There's comedians I don't like in terms of their character. Just as a person and the way you treat other people. Uh-huh. I don't like you. You're hilarious, but I also heard about that time you cussed out so-and-so after a show. But I'm never going to say that publicly about you, because it doesn't matter, because no one's going to believe you. Mm. No one's going to care. Joe Rogan spent a year going at Carlos Mencia and exposing all the joke stealing, and Carlos Mencia still sells tickets.
Yeah.
So
I remember that.
So what is me tweeting that you're a meanie going to accomplish? Yeah. It's not going to do anything. I like talking to the new comics because
they're not jaded yet.
Yeah, and it keeps a fire under me because I also get new ideas from them. I think if you connect with the youth, it's real easy to see what they're doing and how they see the game, because I think comedically there's an intersection between comedy and technology that I think a lot of traditional comics ignore. And that's an easy way, if you're able to harness your true essence as a stand-up digitally or with some piece of technology, then you get to leapfrog a couple spaces, you know. But it's hard, depending on the type of comedy that you do. My comedy cannot be truncated into 30-second videos. It just, my opinions are too nuanced.
That's not true. That's not true. You can do it.
No, you get one semicolon wrong and your career is over. So it's not for me, it's not worth it. At least not yet. I'm not.
But in a way, you're the fact that The Daily Show exists and as a leaping off point is proof of what you're saying. In its way, it is a use of technology that supports your live stand-up.
Yeah, The Daily Show has given me a place to really expand on opinions and thoughts and really dig in from a like with my stand-up, the goal with a white viewer is to show something that you never thought of and that you would have never considered. And a black viewer should be able to watch the same thing and go, that's exactly what I've been trying to tell y'all.
Mm.
And if I can do that with a piece, then that's gold. And so then I also try to do that with my stand-up. But The Daily Show is definitely one of the better places to really dig in on a topic and really show the nuance of everything.
You know, I have to say, both your work on Comedy Central's Daily Show and your work in stand-up really proves the fact that people are wrong when they say you cannot speak truth in comedy anymore, that people are too politically correct, that it's a terrible time to be a comedian, that you can't push the envelope. Wouldn't you say that is false? I mean, I know you've got to be careful in some ways, but there's something refreshing about hearing the truth and laughing at it.
Yeah, the problem is that truth has become this amorphous thing now to some people, where the truth used to be concrete. This is the truth. Now the truth is jello. It's a little more flexible. Is that the truth? Is that really your truth? I don't know if I agree with your truth. You know what? Screw your truth. And like, that's how the outrage machine gets rolling. I don't think it's a hard time to be a comedian. I think you just keep doing as a comedian. It's no harder to be a comedian than it is to be a journalist. I think comedy is journalism.
Hmm.
It's you're either reporting on who you are or you're reporting on how you feel. And The Daily Show is just how we feel about an issue, how we feel about a thing. And some people are going to disagree. And we're in a space where people are a lot more vocally disagreeing. I don't think people are more upset. I just think there's more ways to hear people complain.
Hmm.
You know, back in like 20 years ago, if you were angry about something, you had to write a letter to the editor of your newspaper and wait patiently to see if they printed it. Yeah. And even then, no one replied to it. Like, you had to really put in effort. Now you can just yell on the internet and go write about your day.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the anger is real, really, because some of it is people purposely trying to stir stuff up. Some of it is foreign governments trying to literally start some crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then some of it is also people talking about being outraged more. So my whole thing is like, I just want to make cool stuff. I want to make more stuff. I want to spend more time making stuff than I do talking about making stuff or talking about other people's opinions about making stuff. You know, that seems, all my comedy heroes, that seems to be their approach. You know, they just kind of do stuff and put it out there and
just go back to the work.
Yeah, go back to the work, I think. And moving to New York City definitely, I think, made me more fearless as a comedian. I think I got better doing comedy here, and so I'm able to approach controversial topics a little bit easier now, you know. So whether it's outrage culture or not, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I think people, I haven't experienced it myself personally yet, or maybe I just ignore it more.
Where Ronnie and I are different, though. Like,
what do you mean? I hate bloggers. You know,
I know
bloggers.
That is documented. And yeah, you made that perfectly clear.
I hate commenters and bloggers.
So he stopped. Like, Ronnie doesn't consume any of that stuff, and I'm the opposite. Mm-hmm. I want to know everything.
Yeah,
I want to know. I go on Reddit, which is like, oh, that's
God.
Like, you think Facebook is tough? Nah. Yeah.
You want to feel?
I'm from Reddit, baby. Like, I enjoy just seeing everything that's to be said. I haven't told you this. I've started doing something a little more dangerous now. On The Daily Show's Instagram page, every now and then I'll comment with just like a smile emoji.
Oh.
Just to see what happens after that. And it's like 40 replies and it's just all out war.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all I did was smile.
Yeah, yeah.
The most divisive thing you can do on the internet.
I'm not trolling anyone, but I do enjoy feedback, because somewhere in the midst of all of this outrage and all of this yelling is legitimate positive feedback on ways that I believe I could be better as a comedian or a performer.
I disagree.
I choose to sift through some of that.
I think it's all BS. And I think, yeah.
Somewhere in there are meaningful, fair critiques for me and my comedy. So it's worth sifting through it. And thankfully, I'm in a place where that doesn't bother me emotionally in a negative way. So right. I can kind of go through that. What's the animal that can, like, just work through
chameleon
stings? Is it the mongoose?
Mongoose that can get bitten by the cobra.
And just keep on trucking.
Yeah, see, that's not... I don't want to become the mongoose. I don't want to become immune to venom.
What's your spirit animal?
Yeah, I'm full mongoose on the internet.
You are mongoose on the internet.
Until you threaten my child. Other than that...
Don't threaten his child. Well, whatever you guys are doing, it's working to the best in the business. Ronnie was in a little movie you might have heard of called Crazy Rich Asians, I should say, last year.
Yeah.
Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And please check out their specials and watch them on The Daily Show. You are in a great time to be doing The Daily Show.
Let me tell
show,
you how humble Ronnie is. Ronnie books Crazy Rich Asians and we're in the office. Yeah, man, I'm going to be gone for a month or two doing a movie. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm curious. All right, who's in the movie? He rattles off like 15 Hall of Fame Asians. And I go, sounds pretty huge, bro. Yeah, we'll see. You know, it's a movie. I'm going to go do my job. It's crazy.
Just this little movie. Yeah. And we should say Roy's special is on Comedy Central. You kept it close to home.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And Ronnie's is
available
Netflix.
On the app and on the website.
That's right.
cc.com.
And I'll tell you.
I think iTunes as well. You can buy it on iTunes.
Yeah, somewhere.
Plenty of great clips from both of you from stand-up all over the internet. Great to have you here today. Thanks for talking to us. And thanks for the work you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for speaking to us.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.